Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Physicality, the big key to everything, and Jared Allen talking about the narrative of the Cavs being soft and trying to shake it as we get ready for game two against the Indiana Pacers tonight. And to preview it and to talk about those injuries and the possibilities and legitimacy or illegitimacy of the Cavaliers being a soft team, we welcome in Jared Greenberg, TNT NBA TV. He is on Twitter at Jared S. Greenberg. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Jared, thanks for joining us.
Hello, boys. How are you?
Well, we'd be doing a lot better if the Cavs were up 1-0 instead of down 0-1 and there's more injuries. What, you shocked us on Sunday because it was like,
whoa.
Oh,
what'd I do?
Well, was it your fault?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Jared.
I tuned into the game and I hear Jared Greenberg go to the, they cut to you and here's what you said.
Darius Garland dealing with a frustrating injury, a sprain of his left big toe, which is keeping him out for a third straight game. An injury that requires rest to heal. The good news, I've been told, is there's no structural damage. However, Garland continues to battle significant swelling and pain. He will remain day-to-day and could play in Game 2 on Tuesday. In fact, he just came out into the court. I talked to him briefly, and he feels confident he will be able to play Tuesday. However, if this was the regular season, Garland would likely be shut down for another week to 2 weeks to stay off of the toe. This injury described to me as a major burden for a shifty point guard who needs to push off with confidence.
Audio courtesy of TNT. Jared, it's a great report. That's why we played it again. But you made me go, jeez. Because if we don't have Darius, I mean, Jared, like that's a significant blow here. And then we find out after the game that Evan Mobley's banged up and they're dropping like flies here. My God, do we know? Can you give us a preview of statuses for game two here? Do you know?
Are you ready? Drum roll, please.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Yeah, I've got no idea.
Jared, doggone it. Damn it.
You know, I think it's going to be a repeat of what we had the other day. I think, you know, the big indicator the other night was that Darius didn't even come out and warm up. That meant he and or the medical team didn't feel comfortable with him, you know, still dealing with that swelling, still dealing with the pain, trying to figure out, you know, Kenny Atkinson said after the game that they don't want Darius at 50 or 60%, right? They want Darius as close to 100% as possible. So for me, the big thing that I'm going to watch tonight is does he come out and warm up? Now, if he does warm up, that does not guarantee he's going to play. I think we got to watch to see how he's moving. I'll give you a little more insight. Hold on, I got alarms going off all over the place here. I was told that so he went full go on Friday, just trying to keep track of my days here. He went full go with the team and did a full contact, like high intensity practice on Friday. And I was told there was like parts of it that he looked good and parts of it he looked like a dude who's struggling with a foot injury. And as I said, like, it's hard for him to like push off and do things that make him successful because of that toe. Quickly on the other guys, you know, I think they're going to have to wake up this morning and wait to find out how Evan's ankle's doing. There's concern, you know, and Kenny Atkinson said it yesterday at his media availability. There's real concern that he and or DeAndre Hunter can go. Now, a little curiosity here. Kenny Atkinson said in his media availability very publicly that it's a dislocated thumb. On the injury report that came out at 5:30 last night, the team is listing DeAndre Hunter as a sprained thumb. Not a doctor, but to me, that's two very different things. I would think a sprain is better than a dislocation. But either way, a shooting hand, that's a problem. So I think we got to wait and see how all three of these guys are today.
Jared Greenberg, excellent insight, some great reporting. And because you were there and, you know, it's not like there isn't some gamesmanship going on this time of year. I mean, Rick Carlisle, heck, before the game the other day said, oh, yeah, Garland's definitely going to play. So obviously, you know, locker rooms don't even know what's going on with the other locker room. It's playoff time, so the media might not know a ton. So I got to ask you, just by evaluating maybe body language and the vibes of a locker room, like what were you getting from Darius at that time? And conversely, at the end of the game, with everybody banged up and even Donovan Mitchell nursing things, were you able to get any kind of a gauge on how the Cavs were feeling about the status of all these guys heading into game two?
So how did you guys know that if I didn't become a sports reporter, I would be a body language expert?
I need it. Bill O'Reilly, one of the iconic, iconic Fox News hosts back before several settlements, he used to have a body language analyst on to do just
me.
That.
It was me. Don't you remember? I was the guy on the show. I was analyzing bodies. That's what I was doing. I have no idea. I mean, like I told you, when Darius Garland was on the court, I was on the court last night doing that report that you just so kindly played, and he literally came on the court for the first time the other night, right when I was getting ready to do my report, and he came up to me and he shook my hand, and I go, "What's your deal for Tuesday?" He goes, "I'm going to play." So that, you know, again, that's a player who wants to be out there, right? Like, he wants to play. But we'll see, man. We'll see.
Jared, delving into the handshake, was it firm? Yeah. Was it a confident handshake?
Yeah. It was great. Gosh. It was one of the better handshakes I've ever had in my life. I'll be honest.
He's playing.
I've actually not watched my hands.
Let's go.
Here we go.
Jared Greenberg joining us on the show, TNT and NBA TV. The thing about them being softer on the league, we played the Jared Allen clip. Is that? Do you hear that from other teams or other, like, is it another fan base thing? You don't hear that from other teams, do you?
No. And in fact, like, people could not stop talking more highly about the Cavs, you know, around league circles this year, just how impressed they are with this team, the steps, you know, the things that, I mean, you know, I'm not telling you guys anything you don't talk about every day, but, you know, the sacrifices that Donovan Mitchell made, the evolution and step of Evan Mobley. You know, I think people have been speaking glowingly about the Cavs this year. But, you know, there are questions about, you know, just their ability to get past the second round. And I got to be honest, like, I know you guys don't want to hear this, and I'm not saying to justify anything, but, like, let's remember, like, it felt like the Cavs kind of skipped some steps on their way to becoming flirting with the best record in the NBA, of course, becoming the best team in the Eastern Conference. Like, we talk about this all the time. I was talking about this with some of your beat reporters yesterday. Like, it's easier to go from average to good than it is to go from good to great. And the great part happens in the playoffs, right? The great part happens this time of the year. And the Cavs, you know, took everybody by storm this year, and everybody's like, oh, look, they finished with a better record than Boston. They should automatically be in the NBA Finals. Like, it doesn't happen that way, and you're still dealing with a relatively very young team with a first-year head coach who's done a phenomenal job, just won Coach of the Year last night. Kenny's one of the best guys in the league. But, like, things in the NBA generally happen at a certain pace, and there are steps to this. You wonder what's next.
Well, what we are wondering what's next about Evan Mobley. I thought he had some opportunities in game one that he could really take advantage of. I didn't think that Miles Turner or really anybody on, you know, Indiana could really neutralize him, but yet only 13 shots because so many of those shots were taken by Donovan Mitchell and Ty Jerome. So let's just let's have this conversation as if we knew Evan Mobley was going to play. Right. Do you think that is one possible adjustment you might see in this game and the rest of the series?
Well, there's a couple of things here. Like, everybody, and you guys mentioned it at the top, you're talking about, like, the physicality and the Cavs need to be tough. Greg Anthony, who I work with, who's the analyst on these broadcasts with me on TNT, like, he made the point, it's really difficult to be physical when you're playing at this breakneck speed, right? So, like, to me, if the Cavs' goal is to be physical, and they say, listen, we're a team that plays fast, right? Both the Cavs and Pacers, in terms of pace of play this year, both top 10 in terms of fastest. So the Cavs certainly are accustomed to playing fast. What we saw the other night was a different level, like particularly for the playoffs. You know, people talk about all these cliches, game slows down, half-court game, less possessions. No way. Like, the Pacers wanted this thing at full throttle, and they got it. And the Cavs were willing to play ball with that, right? Like, the Cavs played at an incredibly high clip the other night. My question is, if they want to be physical and your goal is to prove to everybody and prove to the Pacers that you're the more physical team, can you do it at that pace? Or do they want to admit and show us that maybe they're better off slowing down the game? Because we've seen the Cavs play both ways. To me, the formula goes back to the regular season. And this is something I've talked about for several years with Donovan Mitchell. You can play all you want at a certain way of the regular season, 82 games, got himself certainly on the outside, but in the MVP conversation, probably going to finish top five, sixth at the very worst in the MVP balloting. This is a guy who had arguably the best year of his life with his numbers coming down. I don't think you could win playoff series with Donovan Mitchell taking 30 shots a game. We saw it in Utah. Did not work. Could not get out of the second round. This team, you're talking about Evan Mobley, was so good this year, and everybody that I speak to credits their offensive success to unleashing Evan Mobley. Unless they get back to playing that way, like, the regular season's there for a reason. It creates habits that you have to find ways to translate into the playoffs. You have to, you know, emulate what you did to become the best team in the Eastern Conference over the course of 82 games. The way they played the other night offensively was like last year, where it's all on Donovan's shoulders. Now, a lot of that had to do with Darius being out, but they played plenty of games this year and last year where one of their key guys has been out. You guys know that. Like, this team last year was a mess with injuries coming in and out. I don't know that they can have the same level of success in the regular season as they want to have in the postseason if Donovan Mitchell's taking 30 shots a game.
So, in your estimation, who needs to step up the most then?
You guys, honestly, you, both of you, number one, yeah, like,
thank you.
Do a better job. I'm not sure what your pregame routine is, but this pace of play thing, like, seriously, guys, I can't recall a playoff game that was played at that speed the other night. And it's crazy, too, because, like, I talked to Kenny Atkinson both on and off camera, and the only thing he wants to talk about is their offense. So, I'm just curious, like, it seems like they're comfortable with how they played defensively the other night. Obviously, he said there's some tweaks, there's some things, some adjustments, some coverages, some things we need to do at times. We need to do a better job a couple of times sprinting back in transition, stay focused on those things. But, they're focused on the offense. I'm curious about the pace of play tonight. Do the Cavs force this thing to slow down, or are they going to try and, you know, run a track race with the Pacers again tonight? And especially, like, listen, even if all three guys play, they're clearly not going to be at 100%. You want all three guys to be out there, but how does that affect them? And you've got a guy like Evan Mobley and Darius Garland who are dealing with, you know, foot and ankle injuries. How do they play at that pace when you're dealing with, you know, my report about Darius Garland, as you played, the issue is him, like, pushing off and gaining leverage and doing things that a shifty point guard does. How do you play at that high pace with a toe injury and Evan Mobley dealing with this sprained ankle?
Jared Greenberg, who is in Cleveland getting ready for game two tonight. So the Pacers are a confident team. I noticed that they had that swagger. Their response in the third quarter to the Cavalanche was incredible. Did they feel, you in talking to them, that they have been disrespected? I mean, they're 9-point underdogs still tonight. They're still big underdogs in the series.
Wait, they're a 9-point dog tonight?
They still down to 8.5, I think Owen said.
8.5
an hour ago.
This morning.
Wow. That stuns me. I think, and we talked about this on our broadcast in game one, I think of the teams that are remaining in the playoffs, the Pacers, you know, I hate the kind of word underrated, overrated. The Pacers are the most overlooked team that is still standing in the NBA playoffs. They started the season 10-15, and we're dealing with a ton of injuries. Did you guys know that both of their backup centers were lost in the first month of the season to torn Achilles? Same injury, both backup centers. Like, they had to find different lineups. They had to sign different guys. And then after they went 10-15, the Indiana Pacers had the fourth best record to finish the year in the NBA. So from the middle of December through the end of the regular season, only three teams in basketball had a better record than them. There's no question they're overlooked. There's no question that they're a better team than people think. And it's interesting because they have a different formula, right? Like, the Cavs have a couple of guys on their team who are bona fide stars, right? Donovan Mitchell, you can argue, superstar. Evan Mobley, on the verge, knocking on that door of becoming a true star in this league, certainly just rewarded with Defensive Player of the Year. You look at the Pacers and you say, yeah, like, Tyrese Halliburton's a really good player. He's been an all-star. He's been on Team USA. Pascal Siakam's been a guy who's won a championship. He was, you know, arguably the second or third best player on that 2019 Raptors team. But, like, you don't look at them and say, man, there's just like a face of the league type of guy on their squad right now. They're a team that does it with balance. They trust each other. Like, the fact that Tyrese Halliburton and Pascal Siakam and Miles Turner didn't have massive games and they were able to win game one, to me, like, that would be a little nerve-wracking to be a Cavs fan. Now, I would also argue on the counterpoint, I don't know that they're going to shoot 50% from three again and knock down, what do they have, 19 threes like they did the other night. I don't know that that's their formula to win if they are tonight. I know people necessarily in Cleveland don't care about this, but, like, there should be some level of appreciation for who this opponent is.
Jared Greenberg, at Jared S. Greenberg on Twitter. Watch him tonight on TNT. He's one of the very
watch
best.
Watch me.
Jared, thank you for the time.
Are you guys going to the game, or are you going to be watching on TV?
Tone's
we need
going.
The rating.
Tone's going. I'm watching on TV. Tone's part of what – oh, can I say that?
Oh, we've got competing –
with him here.
Yeah, competing coverage.
He's on the regular season network right now.
Okay, well, we're exclusive tonight, so you got to watch us.
Your rebuttal, Mr. Lowe.
I will
kidding.
Come down. I want to see a true body language expert in the flesh. This is a huge opportunity. Thank
yeah,
you,
come
Jared.
On, come on down.
Jared,
come
thank
on
you. Down.
And listen, if that handshake is not fantastic from you tonight, I'm going to let everybody know.
There needs to be a picture between the two rivals coming together. Thank you very much, Jared.
Appreciate you guys.
Jared Greenberg, NBA TV, TNT, outstanding stuff from him. All right.